Welcome to the Product Podcast, brought to you by Product School. Here, you'll get fresh insight from the people at the very top of the tech companies who make the products we love. Remember, you can learn product management live online. Visit productschool.com to discover our new certificate path. There, you can also join the world's largest community of PMs and network with the leaders from these podcasts at our online events. There's something happening almost every day.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jeremy. I am going to be walking you through a talk today about hacking the product management interview. And I'm going to give you a little bit of information about how I navigated the PM interview when I first started out as well. All right. So before we dive in, my current role as a product manager, I've been in a PM role for about 3 years. Prior to that, I was a founder in two startups. Both were acquired. They were smaller startups, and I have an MBA from Wake Forest and a business degree from UNC Wilmington and a CS minor. Okay, so before I got hired into a tech company as a PM, I had a really bad experience with my first few interviews. In fact, like, my first three interviews were just embarrassing. I remember thinking after my third interview that I should probably do something else, because the interviews were going so poorly that I just, you know, really realized I had a really long way to go. And I would look at other people who were interviewing, and I could listen to how they answered questions, and I was amazed that they could switch these topics so quickly. And I really just didn't know how they did it. So I kind of came up with kind of a game plan. I didn't want to give up on becoming a PM. So I started really diving into PM books. I bought several books from Amazon. Lean Product Playbook was one of my favorite ones. Started reading all the product blogs, trying to learn kind of the lingo and how you talk about these product management questions and interviews. Went through Lewis Lin's PM books. I think he has several out with lots of example questions. Went through those. Went through all the Cracking the PM Interview books as well. And then I started kind of, when game time started, I started doing in-person mock interviews. And I've done lots of them. I've done at least 30. And even to the point of, when I say self-interviews, I used to literally get the questions and sit in a room by myself, ask myself the questions, and try to diagram them on the board like I would in a real mock or in a real interview. And as I, started kind of getting all of this information, started really diving in, I had a few realizations. I'm going to walk you through what they were. The first one is that tech companies hire for PM generalists. This is a really key insight, because it doesn't matter if you know today's technology, you're building tomorrow's technology. So what they're looking for is they want to know that they don't care if you're going to impress them with your knowledge of how Bitcoin works or how blockchain works. They want to know that they can drop you into a totally unfamiliar situation in a product space you don't know, and that you can use your PM, core PM skills to build your way out of it, to use logic to get yourself to the right feature, targeting the right users with the right prioritization, because that is what will happen every day. Even if you know the blockchain space, for example, there's going to be something to pop up that is going to require you to have very logical, methodical thinking to get through the problem. Second realization I had after I was doing all those interviews and reading all those books with interview questions, I kind of came to the conclusion that actually most of all of the questions were the same, but with slight variations. There were only about six real types of questions in product interviews that I found. And if you could kind of bucket them into one of these categories, you kind of see the same patterns of what makes a good answer for one, same for the other ones. For example, if they ask you, hey, what is Apple's strategy for the iPhone? It's probably the same type of like structured answer that they're looking for. What is Nike's new market plan for a new type of shoe that they're going to bring out? So these questions have a lot of similarities, And once you can kind of understand what's the kind of question you're being asked, then you can start kind of scaffolding and getting into an answer. And which brings me kind of the third realization, which is that frameworks are what saved me. That once I could identify what the type of question was, then applying or figuring out like, hey, I have two or three frameworks that work for this type of question. I'm going to use one of those frameworks that fit this type of question and, you know, start filling out the framework to the interviewer. Keeps your answers very structured, very logical, and it kind of lets the interviewer know, like, hey, I'm not just winging this. I have, like, identified that this is this type of problem. I've identified that this is the framework and structure that I can use, and now I'm going to show you my skill set to getting to the right answer. Okay, so I wanted to take this time to kind of go through a few different types of questions that you might encounter and how to answer them, or at least how to think about how to answer them. So the first one is a strategy question. So if you get this question, what they're looking for is that you can take this very messy problem, such as, hey, Nike has appointed you the new CEO, and they want you to expand market share. That you could take this anywhere, but they're looking for you to say, okay, here's the structure. You know, this is how I'm going to work through this problem in a very methodical and logical way. A great framework for this, if you're just starting out in your interview prep, is to use the 5C framework. Now, I've modified this. It's the 5Cs and 1T framework. You heard it here first. And what this is referring to is 5Cs is very popular MBA framework, competition, customers, collaborators, context, and company. And the 1T is if you're interviewing at a tech company, I always tell people that you have to address technology. You can't talk about, if you're interviewing for Apple, for example, and you're talking about who their competitors are and what the context and what customers want, and you just leave technology off, that's not probably the right answer that you need to lead with. Okay, next question. Next type of question is product design. This is a very common, probably for most entry-level PM roles, they're going to ask you a product design question, almost guaranteed. And if you look at this, a lot of this framework is Cracking the Coding Interview, PM Interview, Lewis Lin's books. They all kind of have a very similar pattern. I have some slight variations in mine. But the first thing when you get this question, this, hey, design a new Nike shoe, the first thing you need to do is clarify. Okay, what do you mean by Nike shoe? Do you have any sort of goals that we have in mind? Which brings us to the next question, which are, why are we doing this? Do we have a goal? You have to address this up front, because the interviewer may be testing you to figure out if you're asking those questions up front, such as, hey, design a new shoe, and he may be thinking in his head, I want this candidate to kind of start drilling in on that our actual need is to launch a shoe in a specific niche, in a specific region in the world. So after you get through those first two steps, who are our users? Got to go through those personas, start talking about who the people are that are going to use this product, and prioritize that group. Like, whenever you finish making a list of anything, basically, in product management, you need to start with a prioritization right after that. You need to say, okay, these are our users. Let me prioritize them to figure out who is the persona that we're going to target. Next tip is what are their needs? So you got to answer use cases. What do these people want? So I have the group. This is what they want. I want to prioritize it. Don't move forward in any of these steps without getting those prioritizations down. One thing that I found very helpful is as soon as I would answer the question of, okay, we're making a shoe for, a casual athlete who plays basketball in his backyard, and his needs are that he wants to be able to jump higher. So as soon as you have identified that, like, you need to state a vision. My vision is to create a shoe that uses or that fulfills the customer's needs of being able to jump higher. And this shoe is going to help them to jump 10% higher than what they had before. And that is kind of addressing the concept of that product market fit. Like, you kind of already established, like, hey, if I can, I could sell a product that helps someone jump 10% higher to somebody who wants to play basketball, and their needs are that they want to be able to jump higher. The next thing you do, step number six here, is solutions. So you got to start going through the solutions. And as soon as you go through the solutions, again, you have to go back to what PMs do most, which is prioritize. So write those solutions out, tell your interviewer what they are, and then prioritize those. And oftentimes, when I say prioritize, you can't really prioritize without writing down some characteristics of each. So a great example would be, well, solution A is that we use a carbon fiber shoe that's lighter. Solution B is that we put springs in the bottom of the shoe. You know, springs are probably less practical. You know, you could come up with a few different characteristics to tell your interviewer to say, well, I considered cost. Carbon fiber probably is really expensive. Springs are probably hard to engineer, but we have a lot of competencies in carbon fiber. You could just make it up if you have to. But once you have established what those solutions are, prioritize them, talk about the characteristics, why one is better than the other, and tell that to your interviewer. Okay, now the last step, and this is something that I don't see on any sort of any of the popular frameworks that are out there, and that is number seven, which is critique your idea. You have got to critique your idea if you want to really knock it out of the park in PM interviews. You have to say, as soon as you give that answer of, we're going to put carbon fiber in the shoes, and that's going to be the new thing we're going to go to market with, you have to then turn around and show them that you can critique your own ideas and be critical and poke holes in your own ideas. And you can do that by saying, well, I know that our price point is probably going to be maybe between $70 and $80 or $100, and carbon fiber is very expensive. So there's pieces here that we've got to start thinking about that, you know, can we even make this work? And poke a few holes in your idea, show them that you can be critical of your idea, and it's going to go a long way. So personas, which is the next one. So I really think that in an interview, when you're listing personas or you're listing needs or anything, one of the worst things that can happen in a PM interview is if they say, okay, well, tell me, who are your users? And someone says, well, people who are casual athletes, and that's it. And they just leave it there. The reality is like, okay, if it's casual athletes, then break it apart. You can break it apart by some that play often in their backyard, some people that play at the local gym. You can start kind of figuring out more in-depth personas, but you have to be able to split these personas apart. One's not going to work. You're going to have to go for at least three. I wouldn't go too many. You know, five, six is probably at the high end, but you don't want to just have one. And I probably would avoid two as well. Okay, so the next one is use cases. And I like to explain the way I was taught how to talk about use cases, which is when you're prompted for use cases, or when you tell them, hey, I'm going to talk about the user needs, and you start talking about use cases, if the product is something like a physical location or a virtual location where somebody has to go, use a framework, and an easy one is like before, at, what's next. A great example is if you're doing a design question for Tinder. Say, well, use cases are, well, before they go on the date, they need directions to get to the person's house. They need to make plans, so they may need restaurant recommendations. Before they get to the person's house, they may need to check and make sure that they have all the clothes that they want for this date. So when they're on the date, make sure that they're safe. Like they has a function to, or not, without going into solution space, like there's something that can help them contact someone if they get in trouble. What's next? So after the date's over, okay, well, maybe they want to say, like, where's the local coffee shop that's around? How do I get directions back to my house? Like, whatever the case is, you're going to need, you're going to want to talk about use cases in this, in like a structured way. And if you use a framework like Before at What's Next, you can go through those use cases really quickly. Okay, next one is when we talked about solutions, a lot of times I find that people struggle with coming up with really creative ideas on the fly. And it's totally fine. I think everyone does. Unless you're, you know, Steve Jobs or Elon Musk, like coming up with really creative ideas to impress someone you just met is really hard on the fly. So what I do is if I don't have an epiphany in the 5-10 minutes that I'm doing one of these interviews, I have a framework in my head that has kind of all these solutions already kind of thought out. So give you a great example here with the 9 that you see on the board or on the presentation. If I get a question such as design a new Nike shoe that can help people jump higher, you know, the first thing I could say is, okay, well, machine learning. Maybe we could use machine learning or some AI technique to like maybe have some way to model their foot, which can help the physics of their foot be able to jump higher. And we can use this type of technology to do that. Next thing is social. Like maybe we can make it more gamified where based on how high someone jumps, we can track that in some way. And we can send that back and share with their friends all of the different ways that, or all the different heights that they jumped. Next thing, mass customization. Maybe we can make shoes, again, kind of going back to the first one, make shoes that are like custom to that person's foot. So you can kind of work your way through these things. Some of them are easier than others, but I would always kind of like have these kind of like set solution spaces memorized. They're all kind of technology driven. And they're all things that can help you if you get kind of in a pinch of having to come up with solutions really quickly. I believe this may be the last question to go over, which is metric questions. So in any product design interview, they're likely going to ask you, okay, so you built this product, built this new shoe that can help you jump higher. What are you, how are you going to measure if it was successful or not? And I would suggest that you don't even let them get to the point of asking you for this. If you get a product design question, you should roll right into the metrics as to why, as to these are the metrics that I would be looking for. So if you get a question such as, how do you measure the success of the app you just built? So the go-to answer is, this is again another popular framework, and you could say, well, the first thing that I like to think about is feature-related. The second thing is growth-related metrics, and the third is money-related metrics. So for the new app we just built, feature-related, I want to see how many people are using XYZ feature inside the product. I want to see how many people are engaged with it. Growth-related, how many people are downloading this app? How many people are referring it to their friends? What is our rating on the App Store? Money-related, how much revenue have we made from in-app purchases? Are there just different categories of in-app purchases that work well? But you can see, like, you're still going back to the structure and framework. And you want to communicate that very clearly to your interviewer that you don't just, do this by the seat of your pants, that you are thinking methodically about how to get through these types of questions. Okay, and so lastly, I just wanted to put this out as some resources that I really found useful. So the first one is Cracking the PM Interview and Bulletproof Problem Solving. I also found Lewis Lin's books to be very helpful. I had a lot of interview questions in there that were that I used to practice a lot and do mock interviews with. For technical, most tech companies have a technical interview as well. Cracking the Coding Interview was great. It gets really in depth, but if you can work through the first few problems in each chapter, it's very helpful. Two books that I recommend are Designing Data Intensive Applications and 7 Databases in 7 Days. Any of these 7 databases in 7 days or 7, I think, languages in 7 days, those are really good books because they give you like these really good quick as a PM, give you this really good high-level overview of each language or each database, or I think there's one for concurrency models. You can look at the different ways that these things work and use that to, in a technical interview, kind of compare and contrast different trade-offs that you might have to make. Podcasts. So the Verge podcast had a lot of great product reviews. Right before my interviews, I spent a lot of time listening to other product reviews and what people liked and didn't like. Heard a lot of the latest ideas that were out there, of new products that were coming out. And I think someone in product in general probably likes that kind of podcast where they are giving all of these all of this information and reviews about how these latest technology products are working. Next one is A16Z, Anderson Horowitz podcast. Great for thinking strategically about how to think about problem solving in tech companies. And then lastly, blogs. So Stratechery is great. I've listened to probably every single one of their podcasts, and I try to subscribe to their blog and their emails. You get really good insights as to how to think about some of the high-level strategies and really get insights into how different companies are thinking about things. Guy does a great job with that. And the McKinsey Insight app also found to be very useful. So I hope that your PM interviews are very successful, and I hope you can use these frameworks and structures to navigate your way when these things get really difficult. So good luck, and thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening to the Product Podcast. If you liked this episode, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. For more product insights, head over to productschool.com.